Okay, hi everybody. Today we're going to teach on the supernatural. All right. So the supernatural, we're going to read 14 scriptures to start. Judges 13:22. Manoah said to his wife, "We will certainly die because we have seen a supernatural being." 1 Kings 3:28. When all Israel heard about the judicial decision which the king had rendered, they respected the king, for they realized that he was possessed with supernatural wisdom to make judicial decisions. Isaiah 28:19. Your dead will live, their dead bodies will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is a dew of celestial light, heavenly supernatural, and the earth will give birth to the spirits of the dead. Isaiah 28:29. This also comes from the Lord who commands armies. He who gives supernatural guidance and imparts great wisdom. Ezekiel 47:12. By the river on its bank, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They shall bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Matthew 14:2. This is John the Baptist, he told his servants. He's been raised from the dead, and that's why supernatural powers are at work in him. Mark 6:14. King Herod heard of this because Jesus' name had become well known. Some said John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that's why supernatural powers are at work in him. John 6:30. So they said to him, "What sign, a testing miracle, will you do that we may see it and believe you? What supernatural work will you do as proof?" Acts 16:16. Now, as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit that enabled her to foretell the future by supernatural means. She brought her owners a great profit for fortune telling. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now about the spiritual gifts, the spiritual endowments given by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Therefore, unknown tongues are meant for a supernatural sign, not to believers, but to unbelievers who might be receptive. While prophecy, which is foretelling the future, speaking a new message from God to the people, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. 1 Corinthians 15:44. It is sown a natural body, mortal suited to earth. It is raised as a spiritual body, immortal suited to heaven. As surely as there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Galatians 4:31. So then, believers, we who are born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, are not children of a slave woman, the natural, but of a free woman, the supernatural. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Okay. Great. So let's have a look here. We have a. Give me 1 second. Alrighty. Yeah, so, okay. So I've got just quickly 1 Timothy 4:8. It says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." And the word godliness actually means devotion to God. Devotion to Elohim. And to be of value, physical training to be of value for just a little short while, it's a short time, and it profits only for a short amount of time, which is only the life you have here in this natural realm, which is not long. He says, but if you go for godliness, if you are trained, it says if you get godliness is spiritual training. It says if you actually get spiritual training, then it's going to profit you not only for this life, but it's going to profit you. It's going to make you serviceable for this life, beneficial, useful to you, and fitting for the promise, for the present and for the time that's coming, the life that's coming. But if you only focus on physical training and not godliness, then you will only be fit and only be fit and profitable, even a small amount, for this short life. Okay? So you need godliness is more beneficial and profitable. Spiritual training, that means. That's what godliness is. Spiritual training in Christian, in devotion to God. How to be devoted to God. How to worship God. How to... Amen. Now, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And, you know, my little girl last night asked me, she said, what can I watch? Because I want to learn more about the Bible. She's 9. And I said, she just doesn't understand about too much about how Jesus and the Bible relate. And I said, well, the Bible, it's like magic. God's taken it like magic. And he's taken the whole Bible, all the words in it, and he's made a person, Jesus, out of all the words of the Bible, so Jesus becomes the Bible. And she goes, oh, okay, that's good. I understand now. It was very simple. So that's in the beginning was the Word. Okay, and then the Word was with God, and then the Word was God. And that Word of God is, we have that Bible, and it is supernatural that he has taken that Bible and put it and made a man, Jesus, out of that Bible. So he is the fulfillment of the old covenant, the whole Old Testament. All of those words became the man Jesus, completely fulfilled in a man Jesus. Supernaturally took all the words of it and put it in a man and created a man Jesus. All in the living word. Amen. And then the rest of the New Testament is carried out with the Holy Spirit and the vessels that Jesus, well, the Holy Spirit was speaking through. God was using them. All right, so then we've done that with supernatural scriptures. First Kings says, when all of Israel heard about the judicial decision which the king had rendered, they respected the king, for they realized he possessed supernatural wisdom to make decisions. Okay, and the wisdom of God there is talking about the inward part of the man, and it's the seat of thought and emotion. So that king... all of that king's thoughts and all of those that king's emotions was the wisdom of God, okay? It was the wisdom of God. Supernaturally, God inside the king. All of his thoughts and emotions were God, Elohim. The word supernatural there actually means God, and it's Elohim. That's what supernatural means. A supernatural being is actually Elohim, a God himself, okay? And he says there that the wisdom is in administration, wisdom over the Prince of Tyre, all of administration, all forms, cleverness and shrewdness, skilled in technical work, skilled in war, administer, appoint, knows how to administer the all things in the kingdom, knows how to appoint, knows how to bestow gifts upon, knows how to rule justice and how to rule rightly and bring judgment, acts of deciding a case, what belongs to God and what doesn't, how to discern, okay, that's what judging is, how to know what belongs to God and what doesn't, and worn on the heart of Aaron. Okay, Judges 13:22 says this, Manoah said to his wife, we will certainly die because we've seen a supernatural being, and the word there, die, means to be inflicted by God. The word seen means to be with or in the same location as God. Supernatural, again, is the angel of Yahweh, okay? It's the Elohim, and it's, okay? And it's like the sin can't die where God is in the same location. Sin can't hide, sorry. Sin can't hide where God's in the same location. So when God is present, sin's not hidden. Sin can't hide. It's got nowhere to hide. And we're going to look at Genesis soon. Okay. So, but straight after Judges, which I love this because it's Judges 13:22. But I was like, hey, woman, we're going to die now because we've just come face to face with God, or we've seen God. Okay. Cause he's been with us and he's in the same location. It means we're going to die. Supernatural being has seen us. And then it says that she didn't see him again. And straight after that, she gave birth to a son, Samson. The boy grew up with Yahweh's blessings on his life straight after seeing. Okay, so straight after they've seen God, been with God, she birthed a son, Samson, and grew up with blessings on his life from Yahweh. Sorry, I'm in a bit of a hype because we had a really fun night. And I was just so blessed. Okay. Now, Genesis 3. We're going to go to Genesis. So get out my Bible for you. Genesis 3, 1 says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. Okay, so when the woman saw the fruit of the tree and it was good, it was pleasing to her. Fruit of the tree, it's good to her eyes. Good means to be pleasant, but it also means to, it means agreeable. The word there, good, means agreeable. Agreeable for eating. Okay? And the word desirable means pleasant, or pleasant means desirable. And it's to take pleasure in. It's to desire. It's costly, is another explanation. And they desire to gain wisdom. Okay? So it's to gain wisdom. Make one wise. It was to make one wise, Sorkel, to be prudent, to make one wise, to look at. Okay? And to the eyes is talking about the physical human eyes, so pleasing to the eye, make it desirable. So the agreeable for eating is that it was good for the eyes. So to the eyes, if I eat it, then I'm going to look wise. That's what she's saying, right? So she thought if she eats it, she's going to gain wisdom. We'll go down and she... What she thought, well, once you agree, once she's agreed with this fruit, it says, well, actually, the word, let's go down a little bit, okay? And then it's got the tree, right? So it's talking about the tree. Tree can also mean plank, and we know that scripture, you know, hey, if I've got a plank, if you could, don't point out the plank in my eye, make sure you get the plank out of your own eye first. You know, make sure your tree's right before you point out the tree in mine, okay? All right. It also can talk about to shut the eyes, the tree that shuts the eyes, okay? So some trees can shut your eyes. Some trees open, okay. So she took it, it says, she took the fruit because she wanted food, right? So she saw the fruit of the tree was good for food. So she took the fruit, and the word took means to become it or to be with it. And it actually means to be yielded. So she yielded and agreed with this fruit, which is the worldly wisdom, and applied it. So the food is to eat the food. The food means provision, and it's also victual, which means turkey, but also can mean a way of living in Latin. It means a way of living. Okay? So victual means a way of living, also means turkey, but it's also provision. Okay? So food means provision. And the fruit is from this tree, which is a great, it looked good. So it's a great, she's agreed with it. And Now it's good, it's agreeable, she's agreeing with it. Because, when you're agreeable and you just call it, oh yeah, I'm just agreeable, I'm just agreeable, I'm just agreeable to keep the peace, you're agreeing with it. And then that fruit, you're yielding with it. Not only are you agreeing with it, you're yielding to it and you become it. I was saying tonight how everyone's words have spirit behind them. And we're eating people's words, right? And that's why the word of God is so supernatural. So when we eat the word, when we only read those words, the spirit behind those words come into us and we manifest the Lord. Okay, that's what manifests out of us, his spirit. But when you read the words down here, different worldly wisdom, different fruit of different trees down here that is not from the word, then you yield to that and you've come into agreement with it, and that's what you're going to manifest, okay? And that's why he says you will know them by their fruit. What are they manifesting? Okay, what tree have they eaten from? Are they manifesting the Lord, supernatural, because they're feasting on the word? Or are they feasting on everyone's Facebook posts? I don't know. All right. 4, Genesis 3:7 says, then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked. And so they sewed together fig leaves and they made coverings for themselves. Okay, so the word eyes there is also the same. It's used once in another spot called in 1 Samuel 18:9, and it talks about having the close eye, or Saul's close eye on David. Okay? So, which is Saul is the harsh ruler and David is, the one favored by the king. So, eating from Saul's tree will make you want to keep a close eye on that David, right? What's that David up to? How's he getting all that? How's he doing all that? I've got to watch him to work it all out. Keep a close eye on that David. Yeah? Try and get David to eat from my tree. All right. And then they were open, and being the eyes were opened, right? So it's opposed to blindness. That's what it means. So it's opened means opposed to blindness, or open to see good and evil. Okay. And then they knew that it says there that they knew that they were naked. Well, it says there that they knew they were two of them once they ate. So they knew, which means to be yada. So, and then they knew that there was two of them. Now, before that, they were just spirit. They were together as spirit, right? They were one with each other. So they didn't know they were individuals. They were one. Until they ate from worldly knowledge, it separated them, and they were straight away, oh, we're two different people. We're not united. We're not one. But so when she ate from that tree, when she ate the fruit, he automatically ate the fruit too. Even though he didn't eat it, she did. But they were one. So what he eats, she eats. As one, that's what's happening, right? That's what's happening in the spirit, okay? And so they know as one that they're eating from the good and evil, open their eyes. Oh, yeah. And then so it makes them, now that they've done this, now they've become responsible for themselves. So they're quickly like, oh, we've eaten it. Whoa, we've got awareness. Oh, now we're separate. Oh, we just got deceived by the snake. So we're obviously susceptible to that deception again. So we need protection. They just become aware of everything that they didn't have, everything that all of a sudden what they had been taken for granted, really what the Lord was doing for them, and they didn't really know what the Lord was doing for them because they had no knowledge of anything else. But as soon as they ate and became responsible for themselves, they all of a sudden realized, oh, okay, and then they realized, so they become naked and they were bare. They had nothing. They had nothing, just nothing all of a sudden. Okay, but before that, they had everything. Okay, and they didn't know any different, but now they know. Okay, so then they made like they make them like God. So he was all their provision. Okay, they were responsible now to cover themselves and to provide for themselves, because what the wisdom to look good, she wanted to eat the fruit of wisdom to make her look like she was good. Okay, she's eating the wisdom fruit and now she's looking to the eyes, to everybody, in the view of everybody's eyes, looking at me, I'm good, I've got wisdom. Okay, so it looks to the eye of a person looking in, I look like I've got wisdom because I'm eating your knowledge. Okay, but that need to want that, you know, to agree with the, for her to agree with the fact that she needed that she needed that fruit, that was where she fell, because she's like, I have a need. But she didn't have a need. She was in the wisdom of God. She was already in the wisdom of God. She was one with the wisdom of God. She wasn't separated from it. So she had the highest form of wisdom. But the crafty serpent just tricked her into disobeying God. But the way he did it was deceptive. And then once she's awoken and seen, then it says that they've sewed together, tophar, sewed together fig leaves to cover their flesh. But what it actually says is that they began to use the wisdom and the knowledge that they had eaten from the world to sew back into their flesh. So they're sewing into their flesh to keep themselves safe, right? Because their covering is gone. They feel exposed. They feel like, they can clearly see that they're two, and they never even knew they were two. They thought they were just one, right? Now they know they're two and they're like, whoa. Okay. So they began sowing fig leaves. Leaves means healing as well. So they're like, they're sowing to their flesh with wisdom down here and knowledge that they've eaten from the world power, to try to create for themselves armor. It says a belt, a covering, a belt of for a warrior. So they're trying to cover themselves by sowing worldly wisdom, worldly knowledge into their flesh. So everything that they've learned, they're trying to make it somehow protect them and keep them safe and keep them away from, and you know, keep them to heal them again, because they feel unhealed, they feel exposed, they feel vulnerable, naked, bare, they've got nothing. So now they're trying to grasp everything down here. Oh, we've got nothing. We need stuff. So they're sowing it. Quick, get it, get it, get it. And they're sowing it to the flesh. Okay? And then they realize that they were deceived, and they only then recognize what the Lord had been doing for them the entire time. All right. And then before they had no worries, no concerns, full protection from deception. They were fine. And then once this happened, they start sewing this belt to try to protect themselves, is put armor on themselves, because they're full of worry, they're concerned, they're worried. Where's my protection? What if we get deceived again from the enemy? Where's the enemy? We're worried that the enemy might come. We're concerned about the future. We're concerned, where are we going to get this from? What's going to happen? So they just start to going into that fear mode and trying to provide for themselves, being responsible for themselves, using all that world knowledge that they've just eaten from to do everything that the Lord was already doing for them before they fell into dependence upon the world rather than dependence upon the Lord to just do it all for them. All of a sudden they saw how bad it was, really. Oh my gosh, we're one. We thought, where to, we had no idea, right? So everything that they didn't, like a child, they didn't need to know any of that stuff because the Lord had it covered. That's what it means to be covered. So he was their covering, and now they're trying to make their own covering, which is limited to only what they can possibly eat down here. Okay. All right. Then the word chagar means to gird yourself and come trembling. So they're trembling and they're trying to gird themselves with their own created, protected knowledge and wisdom that they've eaten. They've eaten all this knowledge and wisdom, and they think they've got enough to protect themselves now, right? But they come trembling. Okay. Then Genesis 3:8 says to hear, well, the Lord, that says that they heard the Lord walking in the garden. I might pull that one up. 3:8. All right, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the word here is Shama. The Lord is near, or the Lord's been announced, or the Lord is with, right? The Lord is here. Shama, he's here. By ear they heard. Okay. And then the angel of Yahweh, who is the Elohim, God, it says that, the Lord God was walking, the God of Yahweh, or the angel of Yahweh. Elohim means angel, so the angel of Yahweh, which means supernatural, was walking in the garden and in the breeze of the day. Okay, so the wind of God came along with him. The wind of God came, and then they were hiding from the wind, from his presence. Okay, and so they were hiding from his presence, and then he said to them, Adam, where are you? And the word where means nowhere. Adam, where are you? And the word where, means where. Adam means the collective of the humans, the collective human being race. Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? And the word where means nowhere. Why? Because God is spirit, and they are spirit too, but they are no longer in spirit. They've gone down into the world. And they couldn't, they, and the Lord's like, where are you guys? Not in the spirit. You aren't in the spirit. Well, the Lord is spirit, and those who worship the Lord worship him in spirit. Okay. And then he's got, then Adam says, I heard the vo your voice in the garden, and I was naked and I was afraid. And the word afraid means yore, means to fear. And so he withdrew. To fear means to withdraw from, or to draw back, or to hide oneself. Okay? And it's like, so he was naked. He realized that he was without covering. They realized what they had done, that they're away from the presence of God. And all of a sudden, they're in this fear, and what they did is they withdrew. They just drew back into their flesh, into their own. Like they didn't let Yahweh come forth through them. They withdrew. Okay, so when we're in the flesh, and if we keep sowing to our flesh, we're sowing wisdom, knowledge from the world. The more we sow to our flesh, the thicker and more tough our skin gets. The harder it is, the more determined it is to prove that I have enough knowledge and wisdom to, I'll show you, I can do it. And when the Father come forward, when God came forward, and he was like, well, and he was like, I was afraid, so I hid, and to fear means to withdraw. So we withdraw from the Spirit. And we start to rely and depend on everything down here, our own knowledge, our other words, everything here, instead of depending completely for full provision, complete protection, provision, everything. We didn't, we, when we're in the spirit, we don't realize all the bad's going on because we're in the spirit and God's covered us and he's got it all covered. He can see omniscient, omnipresent. He can see everything, all the enemies, all the anything that's going to, he can see it all, what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat. He can see, we don't need to know it all. All we need to do is be in the spirit and to hear his voice and do as he says. And that's it. And trust him with everything else. Not trying to work it out, not trying to add our wisdom or our knowledge to him. Trusting that he has way more than we could not even match. We don't need to match it. We can just relax. He's got it, you know. Let him be our covering. All right, and, you know, I've just got here that, you know, being a human is hard. It's like angels under, it's an angel under our skin. You know, it's like John the Baptist with the irritating camel hair constantly on in the anointing, right? Learning how to walk as an angel with skin on is another thing we're doing here. Like we're dying daily. We're learning to die daily and not to gratify the flesh, not empower it, you know, and make our angel dependent. The angel coming through us, the angel of the Lord who comes through us, the angel Yahweh, comes through our body because we're one spirit. So his spirit is in all. And when we agree with him, his fruit, that spirit, his fruit, spirit, we eat the fruit from that, his spirit, then we agree with him and then he manifests through us. He's what manifests through our actual flesh. And we don't have to gratify the flesh anymore. He's completely watering it. And I'll read in Isaiah in a minute a little bit about that. And then it's so we become completely dependent and all of our needs, our provision, you know, we pray and we ask for everything we need and he provides it. He provides our needs. We don't ever feel like we're in need or we need to go and work it all out for ourselves. He's doing it. He's got it covered, okay? So we manifest our angel. Okay. The angel of the Lord through our body. Manifest Yahweh. Through our flesh. Okay, let me just pull up this last one. Where are we at? How are we going for time? 32 minutes, okay. Cool. So I've got a... Not that one. Well, it was Isaiah. Must be over here. Yeah, Isaiah 26:19, it says, but your dead will live, your dead will live, Lord. Their bodies will rise. Let those who dwell in the dust wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. I love that. So your dead will rise, it says, this is what it says in the Greek, if I can. It says, your dead shall live. Your dead shall live. They shall arise together with my dead body. Who dwell in and sing, they're awake from the dew and the light, the herbs. But the dew there, I like the word dew because it's just nice. Let me open it. It says the mist or the dew. It says the light rain. It's the light rain taking place in our night and it's coming from the sky and it brings fertility. It births faith. It births God in us, that dew. It's the light rain. How lovely. Okay. And it births and it brings, and those who, it says those who are dead with him in his body in the cross, who've come to the cross. You know, and I was talking about it last night and a lot of people, I'll finish on it, but, you know, you put a missionary in the middle of a desert and there's no food and there's no doctors and there's nothing and it's just this missionary who's got faith and believes in God and he's in this middle of nowhere and all he's got is prayer and God. Miracles manifest. Chicken multiplies inside the pot and the kids are eating and they're praising God on their knees, thanking God for the food because they got to eat today, plus they got a miracle. They put their hands on somebody and they get healed from a sickness. And you know why? Because that's all they've got. They've only got God, and they've got God's got to show up, otherwise they're dead. You know, it's much easier in a country where there's nothing for the manifest presence of God to come and actually do miracles, because people, they need it, and they've got a dependence upon God, so he shows up. But when there's no dependence, no covering, you don't have him as your covering, there's no dependence on him to provide every bit of need or provision. You know, he's giving it. So, you know, when he's your covering, and he is your covering, but it's you who don't agree, right? So when we don't agree and we go and agree with something else that's good, rather than saying he's good and he's our covering, then whatever comes, may it come. Whatever comes is what he's giving. For whatever reason, we don't know, but that's how it is. And we just accept it because that's, you know, God, we're under his covering. Okay? I'm not saying accept the enemy of that, but, well, anyway, we're under the covering of God fully. It's fully surrendered. But, you know, going to the West, it's a lot harder because the West have everything. You know, they don't need God. They've got everything here. We've got everything we need here. Nobody needs God. You can show some, give someone a miracle here, and they're just like, oh, that's nice. Oh, lovely. But there's no desire. There's no desperation. No real, like, oh my God, wow, I can't believe that just happened. This is crazy. You know, that's the West, you know, because there's so much. You know, so what's it take for God to make us to become dependent so he can save us from perishing? Because the body, it says the flesh is corrupt, it's perishing. The only thing that is permanent, is eternal, is his spirit. So his spirit, as we're one with the spirit, that's all that's eternal, right? And when we're dead with him, in the blood, in the cross, completely dependent, because we need, you know, that's a proper repentant heart, is someone that desperately needs the cross, because they've looked upon their sin and they need help. They're like, oh gosh, I can't get out of this. Oh my gosh, I need you, right? So there's this severe dependence calling out to God, get me out of this trouble. And God comes through, and you need the blood, you need the cross to apply it to the sin, where you know, when you're in your flesh and you're not in the spirit, you hurt people, you do things you shouldn't do, you say things you shouldn't say, you behave ways you shouldn't behave, because you're in the flesh, you've been sowing to the flesh, and all of a sudden you've got all this flesh is manifesting, you know. And before coming into the spirit, or and staying in the spirit, you know, because we've got this flesh body, so we have to learn to die daily, put our flesh to grow in the spirit, and allow our spirit to overpower our flesh. And even though the flesh cries out and wants to go rah, I mean, you've got an angel inside of your flesh, inside of your body, wanting to come out, wanting to overcome the flesh. So it's irritating. Some things are irritating. People can be triggering things. Some stuff in the flesh is triggering, and this, it just wants to break out, right? But yeah, it's hard to be a human. You've got to learn how to walk as a as an angel with flesh on down here, dependent on the spirit, but not human. So you're an angel born of the spirit, learning to walk as a spirit, dependent on the spirit, learning how to crucify the flesh every time it cries out for you to sow it something from the world, because the flesh is corrupted and so is the world. So the flesh wants corruptible food. Feed me something of, you know, so it can get fed. And you have to go, no, you're not getting it. No, I'm not giving you that. No. And it's a violent thing to stand in opposition to your flesh, to the world, and say, no, I'm not just going to agree for the sake of agreeing to keep you happy and eat your fruit and allow that thing to come inside of me and to make my life worse, because I've agreed with it, and now it's made me fallen away from the presence, because I've got further and further because I've eaten the wrong fruit again. So learning to have, no, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. I only want the living word. I only want the spirit. I only want God. And you have to stand up and say, no, no matter what the cost, no matter what they say. This is God's world. He owns the world. It's his footstool. He's walking on it. He's the king. But he's inside of the people and they're too scared to let him out. He just wants to come out through them and roar and rule through them. You know, I was saying tonight, like, we've got Angel Yahweh inside of our bodies, who is the creator and the owner of all things, and he's being ruled over by Satan, being told, no, you can't do that, no, you can't do that, and we're in agreement saying, okay, oh, okay, oh, okay, and the Lord's just like, what? Where I'm that, take my, I want my authority. Yeah, I've got my authority, but I need you to agree with it so we can operate in it and we can rule and reign on earth and start to manifest Angel Yahweh in the earth through our bodies, right? That's how it is. So let's do that. You know, let's rule and allow Angel Yahweh to manifest through our bodies, through our flesh, ruling like he's meant to, not being disobedient and obeying Satan, who tells us what we need to do and what we don't need to do. We need to tell Satan to get behind. Stop being a stumbling block to me. You don't have the things of God in mind. Get behind me, Satan. You've only got the things of the world and the worries of the world on mind. Well, that's a stumbling block and it's hindering the plan of God. Get out of my way. Angel Yahweh is coming through. Okay? He's coming through our body. He's in your body. Manifest him. Proclaim him. Speak him. Declare it. Testify. Don't be shy. Don't withdraw and hide. Why are you withdrawing and hiding Angel Yahweh? You're withdrawing him into the spirit instead of letting him out. We're not withdrawing. We don't hide back. Okay, get the King of Glory inside of you. Can you imagine? The more you manifest him, the more that we agree with him, the more he manifests through us. We touch people and they're healed. They get a miracle and all of a sudden they believe and they manifest and the Yahweh through them. You're touching people and they're healed. This is God. We're calling on God for healing and he's inside of us. We just don't agree, so he doesn't manifest. We have to agree. We agree, we agree. We manifest, we manifest. Angel Yahweh, the supernatural being, Elohim, God Almighty. In Jesus' name, thank you to everyone hearing this. At the sound of my voice, I just agree with whoever needs someone to agree with them today. That all their concerns, all their worries, all their fears is nothing. It's nothing. It's just what they've seen. It's just their awareness of it. Father, we give you all of our eyes, all of our awareness. We put it all up in you and we surrender completely to your covering, to your kingship, to your rule, that you govern through us. These are just borrowed bodies. Who cares? Have our body. Do what you want to do with it. Rule the way. Take over my mouth. Stop letting me speak silly stuff. Don't let me agree, God. Put the right people so I drink and eat the right words so that I can manifest your authority by agreeing with your authority, by getting the revelation and being one with your spirit, one body, one man. Amen. God bless you guys. God keep you until next time.